And you know what? I think sometimes that we are not comfortable with other people growing around us because we are scared that their growth is going to lead to distancing. We're scared that, like, okay, if you grow a little bit too much, or I don't even want to say grow because it makes it sound like you're mad about a good thing happening. But like, if people start to change too much, that there's not going to be room for you in their life anymore. Welcome to the Graceful Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Brianna Bonna, and I just want to thank you for spending a little bit of your time with me today. If you haven't already, follow the podcast on Instagram at Graceful Growth Podcast. Again, that's Graceful Growth Podcast. I really hope you guys enjoy today's episode. Love you. Bye. Hello. Welcome back, guys. I'm saying welcome back to myself. It has been a minute since I have done a not Wednesday word and just a regular episode. And the reason for that is not because I have not wanted to record or that I've been too busy. I've been too scared. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. As you can probably tell based on what this episode is named, or at least what I think I'm going to name it, is things that I learned about marriage from my parents' divorce. I've wrestled a little bit with talking about this because it wasn't my marriage to kind of discuss, but I think that as, you know, a kid of that, and like I say a kid, my parents got divorced when I was an adult, but as a kid of that, I want to kind of just, it affected me. So I think I can talk about it, even if I wasn't the one who actually experienced the divorce. Like I was not married and then got divorced. But I think it affects you as a kid, no matter what age that you are when it happens. I've talked briefly about it. You know, there's some phenomenon, they're calling it like the gray divorce, that really kind of peaked after COVID and everything like that. Like, I guess people just realize, you know what, like, yeah, we don't have to do this. I don't know that COVID was the reason for my parents' divorce, but I do think that it exasperated some things that were always kind of there. So I just wanted to dive into, you know, me now being engaged, and, you know, marriage is at the forefront of my mind pretty often. Outside of like wedding planning stuff. But just like the actual marriage, I have always felt is more important and what I've always been more worried about. You know, the wedding day comes and goes, but at the end of the day, it's you and your spouse. So anyway, I'm just going to jump right into it about things that I've learned about marriage from my parents' divorce. And the first thing is you need to be friends. And I'm going to go ahead out on a limb and say that some of the things that I'm saying may be controversial. This is just for me what I've learned. You need to be friends. You won't always be in love with your partner. I think it's actually kind of unrealistic to think that, you know, you say you're going to be with someone for better or for worse, but that you don't actually expect that things are going to be for worse. You will not always, you know, feel like you are liking your partner, you know, like they're going to get on your nerves. And quite frankly, like, I mean, just think about your immediate family, where, you know, there were probably times where you lived at your house, and if you have siblings, like, you were beefing with your siblings. And there were times where you were kind of like beefing with your parents a little bit. And while the dynamic is different, it's still, you know, kind of the same. I think the only thing that really tears it apart a little bit is that when you're married to somebody, you're not like blood related to them and kind of like, quote unquote, forced to live with them. But if you're somebody who believes that marriage is a forever thing, you are forced to live with them. And I'm just going to go head out on a limb and say, I am not talking about any type of relationship that is a verbally, emotionally, or physically abusive one. I'm talking about your just run of the mill kind of, you are in a relationship with somebody and you guys have conflict. If you're in an abusive relationship, this is not, none of these adhere here. But anyway, I value so much the friendship. You know, there are times I think even in my own relationship, it hasn't been of like, oh, I don't like you, but just like things are not always in the honeymoon stage. You know, you're not always going to feel like this strong sense of intimacy. You're not always going to want to do every single thing with your partner, especially after you live with someone and you see them every single day when you wake up in the morning. And, you know, if you, let's say that you both work from home like me and my partner do. I basically work with you. Like, you're also my coworker. You just happen to be on a different laptop that was issued from a different company. But we're in the same house together all the time. We wake up and see each other. We're always here together. Like, we go to bed together. Like, the whole day is spent together. I think there's a little, you know, reprieve when you or your partner or both of you have to physically go somewhere to go to work, because there's this like, there's this little piece of like aching and kind of missing each other that I think that can dredge up some intimacy. But like, when you see that person every single day, the sparkle kind of loses itself, you know? Like, when you first see a new car, it's like, oh, this is so amazing, you want to drive it all the time. But after it loses its luster a little bit, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, whatever. You know, the car didn't change, it's just the way you looked at it changed. But you have to be friends, and so when that's when maybe the lovey-dovey moment is not there, the friendship is what you can kind of fall back on. Because imagine if y'all aren't actually friends. And I don't mean to say this, I'm like, oh, you have to be friends first, because I think that some people say that of like, you have to be friends with your partner first. And I think that it helps to be friends with your partner first, because you do have the friendship which you know, initiated the relationship off of anyway to fall back on. But if you're not friends first, I think that you do have to work a little bit to cultivate actually having a friendship. Like, your relationship can't just be about like being a husband and wife. Like, you guys wear a lot of different hats to each other. And so one of those roles that needs to be played is a friend. And, I think, I can't remember. We went to some, it was kind of like a Christian comedian or something like that. I don't remember him cussing in there at all. And it wasn't like it definitely wasn't a sermon, but one of the things that he said about him and his wife is that, you know, they also do business together. And that's a whole nother facet of things that, like, I'm not even going to get into that because I have no experience there. But being, you know, when you're in business with your partner and everything like that, and he said that one of the things that they implemented in their relationship is that when they need to talk about something, they kind of like tell each other like what the hat is that I need you to wear in order for us to have this conversation. So for example, if he wants advice about something and not necessarily like his business partner to answer him about something, he says to his wife like, hey, I want to talk to my friend right now. Or like, I want to talk to my wife right now, just depending on what the situation is. And it can be kind of cheesy, but I thought that it was cute, and I thought that it was important. Because I can actually think of some times now where, and ladies, you may be able to understand me if you've gone through this with your partner before, but you know, sometimes you're telling your man something and it's like you just want to vent like you would with the girls, like have a little kiki or whatever, and then he starts trying to fix the problem. And it's like, I didn't ask for that. Like, I don't want you to fix the problem. I don't want you to give me advice on what I should do next. Like, that's not the stage of this problem that I'm at right now. The stage of this problem is complaining. I want to complain right now. I'll come to you later when I want actual advice, but sometimes I just want to delve it out. And, you know, you find what works for you, because maybe, you know, maybe your man is not the type that can listen to the complaining, and he really just wants to try to fix it because that's in their nature or whatever, to try to fix it. And maybe you only need to delve that with the girls. But, you know, just being aware of things like that. But like, you need to have something to fall back on when things are not hunky-dory. I think that that's so important. And I also want to add here that I don't think that any of these things were like the cause of my parents' divorce or anything like that. I'm not gonna like openly speculate about, you know, what was the cause. I think there were a lot of things and quite a few things that I'm just not probably ever going to discuss here unless I'm asking either one of them on this platform about it. But at least in my eyes as the child who saw this, I think that these were some things that maybe weren't fostered, and or at least they weren't fostered enough to be for me to be able to see them and be like, okay, like I can take that and attribute that to my next to my relationships or anything like that. So anyway, I talked long enough about that one. I'm going to move on. This one actually has nothing to do with, or actually does have something to do with my parents. But it has more to do with what I've seen in other people, like around my age when they get into long-term relationships. But individuality needs to remain in place. I think that oftentimes you kind of, and both parties do this, but I think oftentimes when people get into relationships, they delve themselves into that person. And kind of like do a lot of the things that they do. They end up having like interests, and a lot of their interests end up being together. And the things that they were interested in or doing before get lost, or they get buried or tucked away, or they're not prioritized anymore. And I think that it leads to resentment because you, on the surface, I think we have this feeling that I can't do this, this, and this because I need to do this with my partner. And so you start feeling resentment towards your partner as if they asked you to do that. And they probably feel the same way about something that they no longer are doing because they now have to do something with you. And I want to give an example of this. It's actually like a secondhand example because my dad gave this to me about somebody at work. But actually, that's not a good example, but I just want to say that, like, you need to have hobbies and everything, like, without your partner, and those can't go away because you're now in a relationship. If you, and don't get me wrong, because I think if, as long as it's something that does not dishonor your partner, like, for example, I'm just going to say, like, maybe this is a very extreme example, but it's the first thing I thought of. Let's say you want to go to the strip club, but your partner doesn't really like when you go to the strip club because you like to touch on the people at the strip club. You get a little inappropriate and maybe a little disrespectful of your relationship when you're at the strip club, so they don't want you to go to the strip club anymore. I think that is a valid way to be like, okay, like maybe you need to find something else to do. Like, because that's not really honoring our relationship. Or like, let's say you, you know, you have like a little, this is childish, but you have like a little friends with benefits that you used to mess with before you started dating someone. And, you know, sometimes you guys, there's some feelings still there, but you still hang out with that person and your partner told you, I'm not really comfortable with that. It might be something you need to let go that you don't need to do anymore. But like, let's say, for instance, like going to the gym, you don't need to not go to the gym because you're now with your partner. What you need to do is kind of like figure out a way to work in whatever you were doing before into your schedule with your partner, but still having that alone time. Because I think that's the thing. That's the biggest thing, I guess, I'm trying to say. Not just the individuality, but also having alone time. I think that there's a way to like kind of get sick of each other a little bit when you are trying to spend every single moment of your free time with each other. Like, you still need time to pour back into you and do things that make you happy so that you're not later resenting your partner or resenting the relationship and looking elsewhere for comfort or, you know, anything like that, or really yourself in other things. Like, you have to keep the things that make you, and like, yes, there are some sacrifices that need to be made, but I think that humans in general, kind of depending on what it is, if they're really passionate about it, have a tendency to be very all or nothing about things. So like, you get into a relationship and you give it everything, you give it all you got, all your time, all your energy. That's not sustainable, you know? And like, then you get to a place where you're like, yeah, bro, I don't want to do this no more. And it's like, do you not want to do this anymore? Or did you spend way too much energy in it and not in being a healthy version of yourself? Because I think you also give for your partner, on your partners, and you give an unhealthy expectation of what what they are to expect in the relationship. Like, and then when you start pulling back, now they're looking like, dang, like, you don't really like me like that no more. And it's not even that. It's just that you were way too much at the beginning. So anything you pull back from now feels like you're withdrawing from them. So just like stuff like that. I don't know. Hey, again, I said that these may be controversial. You can take this with what you will. I think there is probably a little bit of like goodness sprinkled in here, but I'm a little biased based on what I've seen. And this is just what I've gathered from my experience. Grace, this probably goes outside of just romantic relation, not probably, this goes outside of romantic relationships. This goes into your siblings, into your parents, into your, work relationships, into your friendships. Like, this goes beyond. Grace, you are going to change. As a matter of fact, you are likely not the same person that you were 5 years ago. You are definitely not the same person that you were 10 years ago. You're going to change. You would want for the people who are around you to give you the room to actually grow into something that you're moving towards maybe better now. And don't get me wrong, if you're starting to do things that are like self-detrimental and like deteriorating your own sense of being, then I can see why people around you would be like, oh no, pump the brakes. But if you're trying to better yourself, you're going to change. You're likely going to change. Your habits might change. Your demeanor might change. You may approach situations differently. You may decide you're not arguing about the same thing you were anymore. So you're going to grow. You're going to change. And you likely want grace in order to be able to do that. You also need to give it to your partner. They are going to change as well. This is something that I think that probably every relationship is easier said than done, but this is something that I think that every relationship could probably use a little bit more of. And for myself, I'm speaking from experience in terms of work. This has always been something that has been an issue for me about my lack of grace given to others, because I don't give it to myself much. But you need to give people room to grow and change, because it's inevitable that they're going to do that. You just need to make sure that you're not a reason that's like kind of standing in their way and like not being comfortable. And you know what? I think sometimes that we are not comfortable with other people growing around us because we are scared that their growth is going to lead to distancing. We're scared that like, okay, if you grow a little bit too much, or I don't even want to say grow, cause it makes it sound like you're mad about a good thing happening. But like, if people start to change too much, that there's not going to be room for you in their life anymore. But the thing is if you respond in a way where you're not open to it, you're going to end up pushing them away anyway. And you're pushing them away because of something you're assuming is going to happen. It might not actually happen. They may be growing or changing into how to be a better person to you, but you're meeting them with such resistance and not giving them the room to grow that they're kind of like, you know what? Like, I don't know if I want to do this anyway, because you're kind of acting crazy. And like, I'm, you know, you don't even see how beneficial this is for me. So it's like, do you really care about me? And it's like, now we've stirred up things into a place that they don't actually need to be. Cause you didn't give them the room to actually grow. And it's like, you want that too. So like, offer that, the things that you want, you have to offer that. The next point is we all can use some pointers on healthy communication. And what I mean by that is we all, despite how much we've grown or despite how much therapy we've had, there's probably still some things that we can work on. Understand that and take criticism, like, and take it well, you know? Maybe you didn't communicate something well. Like, I think that may be a me thing. You could have worked on something so, so hard, but the whole point of, you know, really even why I started this podcast is that the process of growth is never ending. This sounds morbid, but if you're not growing, you're dying. So your only choice is to continue to grow, which means that you are constantly going to be moving, adapting, updating, changing, and not necessarily. I think that there's such a bad connotation put on changing, because it's like you're changing, like, oh, you're not yourself anymore. And it's not that you're not yourself, but you're becoming a better version of yourself, and that's still change. For example, like a plant starts off as a seedling, and you know, it grows a little bit, and then you put it in a pot, and then it gets a little too big for that pot. And it's not a bad thing that it's growing and needs a different pot, but it's changing. It's becoming a better version, a bigger, more thriving version of itself. And so therefore the pot needs to change, because it no longer suits that. Like, there are just some things that we are constantly like kind of growing and shedding and growing and shedding and making changes and updating ourselves to fit this next level that we're getting to. That goes for your communication. You are never going to be a perfect communicator. You're never going to be a perfect anything, which means that you always need to work on it. And I think that this ties back into grace a little bit as well. But if you're always going to be growing and improving and getting better at something, then so are other people. And if other people are too, you have to give them the grace to be able to do that. I think sometimes we've gotten a little bit too much into the culture of just like, if I don't want to deal with that, or that person is like not, I don't even know how to say it, but just kind of like a cutoff culture of just like, I don't want to deal with that. I think after repeated instances of like, oh, bro, you actually don't care about me, that's appropriate to cut somebody off. But you have somebody who, like, for the most part, they genuinely are your friend. There's just some things that they do. There's some nuances that they have that like don't really vibe with you, and you're not really like caring about them. You don't need to cut them off like, just okay, willy-nilly, I'm just not going to deal with that anymore. And I'm saying that from experience. I think that there have been some people in my life who I don't even want to necessarily say cut off, but I maybe have withdrawn from prematurely because I simply didn't want to have a conversation with them about what was going on. And I just wanted to not deal with it. I think avoidance is just our way of like not dealing with something when it actually is going to bring us closer to better communication. I think that the society has maybe made it a little bit too easy for us to be quitters. And I don't just mean in relationships, obviously. I mean in a lot of things. It's just made it very easy to like, you know what, I don't have to do that anymore. And there is room for that. There's definitely room for that. I think that there are definitely some things that we in a more toxic culture, we're just like, yep, you just have to shut up and put up with it. And it's led to some abuse, but then there's some other things that like, hey, you actually didn't need to quit that. Like, that actually was something that was going to be good for you if you would have kept pursuing it and gotten past the hard part. But it's hard sometimes, I know, to differentiate between like, okay, is this something that's actually not good for me and I need to leave? Or is this something that's just getting a little bit difficult and I need to work through it? But anyway, I like that was definitely a tangent, because I started off with healthy communication. But again, I am saying all that to say is that we can all improve on our communication. And tying back into the point before that is to give other people grace to actually learn how to communicate a little bit better. Just because you're a little bit more advanced doesn't mean that you're like the guru of communication. There's probably some areas in your life where you could better communicate depending on who it is and what it's about. And then the last thing that I've learned about marriage from my parents' divorce is they say all the time, you know, one of the hardest things about marriage is that you are taking two individuals from two different households, putting them together and having them kind of work out like how they're going to basically create their household. And the thing is like, oftentimes what you do is you take a little bit from one person, put it in, you take a little from the other person, put it in. And then there's some things that the partnership kind of develops together that neither one of their households did, or maybe something that they wanted to introduce in their household that they weren't able to. But I think that part of the problem is that we at times try to figure out who. And I have to say that this is definitely something I'm speaking of in my parents' case, but they try to figure out which household did it right. And I'm going to tie in something else that people say about marriage and kind of put them together. Another thing is that it's said often that you can't compare two relationships to each other. You have no idea the ins and outs of the relationship. You have no idea what led them to make certain decisions about what they were doing in their relationship or their household. And so therefore you can't compare it to your own. I think we get that when it comes to other marriages with our peers, but sometimes we maybe forget that when we are in a relationship with someone else. You know, everybody likes to think that maybe like the way that it's almost like a competition. While I didn't come from a marriage that I think was a great one, there were some things that happened in my household that I think were good. And I think I'm almost more competitive about it because it's like, okay, well, the marriage wasn't good, but like there were some other things that were good. So like, yeah, this is the right way to do them. Like, this is something that my parents got right. You almost like want to be proud about it. And I think that, you know, your partner may come from the same situation or something similar, and they also want to be proud about that. And then you come together and it's like, oh, we're doing two different things, and I actually think that my way is the best. And it's like your basis on you thinking that your way is the best is based on something that happened in your household between your parents' marriage that you really don't know anything about. You don't know why your parents made that decision. And I'll tell this anecdote that I think I've probably told a couple of times before that my dad has said multiple times, but it's a grandma who is making a turkey and she cuts off all the ends of it when she puts it in the pot. Then her daughter, we'll call her just the mom, she, you know, takes off all the turkey, puts it in the pot. Then it's the daughter, I'll call her, and she takes off all the ends of the turkey and puts it in the pot. And the husband of the daughter is like, why do you do that? And the daughter's like, I don't know, my mom did it. Goes to her mom and asks her, hey mom, why do you do that? She's like, I don't know, my mom used to do it. So then we go back to grandma, and mom asks grandma, like, hey, ma, why were you cutting all the turkey ends off the pot? She said, my pot wasn't big enough to fit the whole turkey. So here we now have generations doing something because one lady did it. And the reason she did it was valid. She couldn't fit in the pot. Now we got daughter over here who has a pot big enough for this turkey to be in, but she's cutting the ends off of it because she didn't understand what the purpose of doing that was to begin with. I think that we do that sometimes in our own relationships where we bring something in from our parents' relationship or from anybody else's relationship, and we try to fit it into ours to make it work when we don't know the rationale behind why it was in that relationship to begin with. And sure, we could ask our parents for each of these things or ask whoever we're getting these from for each of these things. But the truth of the matter is we will never really know because we weren't in the relationship. I found myself trying to apply things that, you know, my parents were doing that I witnessed and into our own house and met with a little bit of resistance. And then when I thought about it, I was just like, you know what? I think that my parents probably did that because they had two kids when they had a house. Our situation's not like that. We have a house, but we don't have kids. And so like it kind of like brought me in, reeled me in a little bit of like, okay, like, you know what, your parents probably did some things that you really don't have like the background knowledge of why they chose to do that, because it wasn't you weren't in the room when the decisions were being made, rightfully so, because you were the child and not a spouse, but you weren't there for some of the decisions. And I you know, tell that long-winded story just to say that like, You know not to compare your relationship to other people's, because that's two different people, two different situations. We have to also do that with our parents. And if it, you know, maybe if we're being met with resistance for something that we really, you know, don't have the background for, can't even explain, like, cause just ask yourself that sometimes. Can I even explain why I want to implement this? If it's because my parents did it, likely not good rationale. But you know, ask yourself, you know, why am I doing this? And maybe is there room for me to accept something else that may actually work better for my situation and who I am with, for this. And so I hope that you guys enjoyed that. It felt like a weight off my shoulder to finally get it off my chest and into a podcast. But, yeah, I just wanted to document, I guess, the things that I've learned about marriage through my parents' divorce. I hope that they are not upset about this. Maybe I should give that disclaimer at the beginning, but I hope that they're not upset about this, and definitely was therapeutic for me to get it off my chest. And I don't think that I share too much information about their personal situation, but yep, you guys know where to find me, and I will see you guys next time for the Wednesday Word, which will be next week. I hope you guys are enjoying that episode. And again, if you haven't already, please follow us on Instagram. I say us, it's just me. I'm a one-woman show. But anyway, I'll see you guys next time. Bye.